So you got to look for the cuts. They have two different cuts.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go on to the Cottle website.
Yeah.
They got a, it's like Web Shop Japan.
It's the other one, the World Shop.
Ah, World Star. No, that's what it sounds like. Yeah. World Star.
I know. And then you get slapped in the face.
Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Denim Heads podcast. I'm Pasha.
And I'm Dariush.
Dariush, Gong Hei Fai Choi. Happy Chinese New Year. Prosperity to you.
Thanks, my friend.
And all our listeners.
Yes, happy Chinese New Year to everybody.
I understand there's like you got a new update on Dutch Denim Project, the newsletter.
Exactly. Exactly. So I received the second newsletter. It's another update from our friend Edwin from Denim Dutch Project. So as expected, he's presenting both cuts. There's a slim tapered and a relaxed tapered. He's confirming that it's going to be a run of 200 pieces. We talked about that last time. Uh-huh. And you're going to have free chain stitch hemming service by Dutch Denim Repair. But I would add something. Don't hem your jeans, guys.
Yes.
If you do order this one or any other, don't hem them.
It's funny, just this week I was wearing them and I was looking. And I was like, God, I wish I didn't do this. I would have rather had that.
Yeah.
The luxury of just folding them and doing whatever. I hemmed them
exactly.
A little too short, but whatever.
Exactly. Well, you know, but still very excited about that project.
Do they have a date or anything?
So there are dates on the newsletter. I didn't write them down, but I think pre-orders will start early March.
Okay.
And deliveries sometimes around summer.
That's cool.
I think it's May, June or something like this.
Okay.
Don't quote me on this.
No, I mean, we'll probably correct it maybe in the show notes or something if there is anything, if we have better. Yeah.
And if you guys do receive this newsletter, you will see that there are secret links on the bottom part of it.
Uh-huh.
So do click the first one. It goes directly to the Denim Heads podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Nice.
So Edwin was nice enough to feature us on the newsletter. We're very happy.
Very cool.
Thank you very much,
yeah.
Edwin.
Shout out to DDP and DDR,
exactly.
Dutch Denim Repair.
Exactly. Dutch Denim Project, Dutch Denim Repair.
Nice.
Talking about the Netherlands, I was checking our stats, and I think it's important for us to address this also because the Netherlands... Acknowledge it, yes.
It's our the Netherlands are a third highest concentration of our listeners are in the Netherlands.
Yes, exactly.
After Switzerland and the US, I would imagine, right?
Yes, exactly. After Switzerland and the US.
Nice.
US is still first, but yeah.
Is the US Netherlands, first?
US is first, yes.
Oh, okay, cool.
Exactly. So, Dutch listeners, you guys are legends. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
I want to say... Hallo vrienden.
Ooh, okay.
Yes.
I brought some Hello, Cantonese vrienden. In this and you're bringing some Dutch. Okay.
Exactly. I was just trying to say, you know, how do you say denim? How do you say jeans? And apparently the way you say that is Spijkerbroek.
Okay.
You know, we learned. Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I don't think I've ever told you this. I lived in Holland for a brief few months during my childhood.
Okay.
I don't know if I would say I lived there.
Wasn't aware.
Yeah, in The Hague, actually. And then another summer, probably in my teenage years, I was in Leiden. I had a cousin who was going to school out there. And so I have a little history with with Holland.
Okay. Well, you know, I think it's very cool. I would have never imagined that, you know, listeners from Netherlands would represent around 25% of our total listeners. And
nice.
That's nice. We salute you, Dutch listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Kind of going on last week, I felt a little guilty. We were talking about Naked and Famous.
Yeah.
And I felt a little ill-prepared. So I've actually gone and listened. I will listen to the podcast, the Denim Hunters podcast that was actually released last June 2020. And it was with... employee number one at Naked and Famous, their first ever employee, who's still there with Naked and Famous after 10 years, Basa Trinos. And cool stuff. I mean, he started off at a, his own history is he started off as a salesperson at Holt Renfrew in Toronto, which is probably, I've been to there. It's the equivalent of, yes, there are Barneys or Saks Fifth Avenue and such, but that was one of the first places in Canada, department stores, to really carry Naked and Famous. And he was one of the salespeople there, and then he's transitioned over to the company. And they, it's an interesting company, and I will say that I was wrong about sort of my first impressions. They sort of are actually anti what I thought, which was, you know, this young and broke or rich and skinny sort of brands, you know, the Hollywood brands, the way they were sort of doing it. They were actually just kind of making fun of it. And that's why they called their company Naked and Famous. And
Right.
They are a little different than very traditional Japanese denim brands. They are Canadian, obviously.
Yeah.
So they're not Japanese. And so they're actually doing just creative stuff. Like I touched upon last week, they definitely have done some you know, sort of blends with reflective material. They've done cashmere. They've done scratch and stiff. They're talking about collaborations in the past. They've done with like Toxic Avenger. And most recently this week, they released another collaboration with Batman, and it has like the Batman insignia and on the buttons and stuff. But what, one thing that I heard about during the Denim Hunters podcast, Basa had said that they're doing a Rick and Morty collaboration, which is very exciting. I've gotten into Rick and Morty, and it's a really cool, funny show. Probably one of the more mature cartoons. And they're going to do a Pickle Rick, Pickle Scratch and Sniff denim, which I will definitely purchase. Just because. Okay.
So that's going to be your first pair.
Yeah, that I plan to keep. I did buy a pair, and I think I just didn't pay attention to the sizing as well as I should have.
Okay.
But yeah, I definitely, I've gained an appreciation for the brand, and I like the creative spin. You know, they are, they're having fun with it, and it's not like it's a mockery. It's just like, why can't we? They're forward thinking. And I think they sort of are right to think that in a few, in maybe 10, 20 years, they will have been pioneers in the start of sort of really, the where denim is kind of, because they were sort of saying that a lot of brands are sort of stuck on the 50s and 60s of denim, and they are a bit more evolved. And I again, you know, given what they do, they have very cool stuff. They're a relatively new company. 2008 they started up right around the economic downturn. It wasn't the recession. It wasn't a great time, but here stateside, you know, Barney's started carrying their brand, and then they really exploded.
Okay. So were you able to find out where those name for the different cuts are coming from? Because that's a question I've always had. I should have asked you this before, but you know, the weird guys, the strong guys, the
I should have, and I could have, but the two sources that I went to, you know, I listened to a 45-minute podcast, and I just reread the chapter in the book, which was, you know, pretty much the same thing, summary of the 45-minute podcast. So I didn't ask about like the weird guy cut, the easy guy, or the super guy cuts, where they came up with these names. But I'm sure it's a playful spin on something. And so I'm sure there is a good story behind that. And I'm sure it could be found, and maybe I'll look into it. I know you're active. We were talking about this. I don't know if we were talking about this on the podcast or off air, but you know, they're a relatively small-ish company, as big and as cool as the brand is. They're not that many people, and so they're accessible, very accessible. They have like a Friday night live stream on Instagram. That's probably their biggest and best way of getting in touch with them.
Cool.
And they're very receptive. But yeah, they have their own little YouTube channel, which is basically a replay of their live streams.
Okay.
And yeah, they have their own website and stuff. But.
So the brand is Canadian. Most of the fabrics obviously come from Japan.
Correct.
I would guess.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And it's all made in Canada or it's made somewhere else?
It's made in Canada within their two warehouses that they own. The podcast, the Denim Hunters podcast, is probably it's the episode that I listened to had more of an economic spin to it and how it gets, how do they keep their prices so competitive. And it's in part because of they own a lot of their own things. So they cut out a lot of the middleman process. And they know that as cheap as they can make it, you know, when you add it, when it goes into the retail market, there's always a little bit of a multiplication. So they tried to do their best in keeping it minimal. So when they own their own warehouses, they own their own buildings and such, they can cut everything out.
Okay.
They can kind of go.
That's interesting. I don't know what's the part of, you know, retailer versus having their own shops, but I was just going through their website and I saw that they have an actual shop in New York.
And in Montreal.
Yeah, and in Montreal.
Yeah. Montreal is probably where they're based. And but yeah, they have a few shops, I guess. And I would imagine they have one in Japan too.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, from what it sounded like, Basad is out in Japan right now.
Okay.
He's based out there.
Okay,
so
okay.
It has to be something, and maybe he's kind of stuck out there. That could have been the case.
He's probably stuck, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, he might have been.
They're very active. We just saw, we were talking about this off air, but they just released something for Chinese New Year, for example, which is kind of interesting.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. They have like an ox, because it's the year of the ox. Let me see. The metal ox, Chinese New Year metal ox. It's 12 and a half ounces of Japanese salvage denim. So yeah, they are definitely, they're definitely different. I think their spring 2021 release, they haven't said anything about like the Rick and Morty Pickle Rick scratch and sniff version, but they have other stuff with Batman and the Chinese New Year one.
Yeah,
I mean, it's funny, it comes up to another point, you know, 12 and a half ounces. Somebody had asked, you know, where does the number of ounces kind of come, what is that measurement? And it's basically, you know, quite simply, it has to do with the weight is just measured in ounces per square yard. So when we say 32 ounces, that's 32 ounces per square yard.
Per square yard, yes.
Of everything. So
cool. Well, it's nice to learn a little bit more about Naked and Famous. And it's true that last time we did touch upon it slightly, and it was interesting to come back and kind of go through the brand a little bit deeper, I want to say.
Yeah, and then we'll always kind of circle back to them on occasion. I'll try to touch on some of their releases. You know, they released like some kimono shirts this week too.
Okay.
On a couple websites, and so they were sort of, speaking of like releases and such, I think Rogue Territory. Really, I know you were fanboying over.
I was. I am still, but it sold out already pretty much everywhere.
Which was quick. I didn't expect that. You know, I know you were talking to me about it like on Wednesday, I think. Today's Sunday.
So that was a capsule collection. So anyway, it wasn't supposed to be like something, you know, that was going on through the year. So they've changed their business model a little bit with everything that's been happening. So that's why they're starting with this first capsule. So it's interesting. Limited quantities, selected point of sales, nice stuff. And the product, there were two heavy flannel shirts, a gray one and a brown, blue, beige one. Both of them really, really nice. And I was fanboying and maybe I waited too much because it's pretty much sold out everywhere.
Yeah, that was crazy. And I know, like, you know, I saw it on two places. I saw it on Blue Owl in Seattle's website, and then James Dant in
James Dant.
Shout out to James Dant for taking such great photos. I think, you know, one thing that we talk about is, you know, measurements and such.
Yeah,
and they do a great job of you know, showing. I think it's the owner who's taking pictures of himself wearing the shirt, so you get a real good idea. I know you off air were sort of talking about how much you appreciate these.
Yes, things. It's so convenient, especially now. I think that's something we've talked about in pretty much every single episode, but we can't go to all these shops now to try this stuff. And when you have somebody, a shop owner, that's aware of it and that puts the effort into, you know, taking the pictures, different angles, writing down what's his side, his size, his weight, which size is he wearing on the pictures, the measurements and everything. It's really, you know, it's nice to see somebody going an extra mile and doing all this, putting it on social media. It's much more convenient.
Some other stores do that, but you know, brands like James Dante do a great job.
Redcast does an amazing job.
And they're actually like, you know, these guys are on point. You know, I tend to see the descriptions that they do on their websites.
Yes.
Unfortunately, full disclosure, I'm not on Instagram, so I don't spend enough time as
good
you
for
guys.
You.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I'm just, you know, I have something. I just can't do it because I go deep in there and then I just lose track of time. But, you know, I'm a little bit older and more old school in that sense. So I'll go to their website and I just appreciate how much like Redcast does to give you all the information about the models and the description.
Yes.
And they do a great job of selling it. As I said last week about the Tanuki sweatshirt, it looks so tempting just by the way they word things.
Yeah.
And describe the fabric. It looks good.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, again, we could talk about that for another half hour, but how hard can it be to take pictures, put them online, and, you know, just then take the orders, basically? So,
I think if you invest the amount of just a little bit more time, you'd be surprised at how much it pays back. Yeah.
I forgot his name. If you check the James Dent IG account, you will see he uploads stories almost every time somebody orders something, and he puts a little note, a little thank you note. It's constant. The guy is always packing up stuff, packing up orders, shipping orders, and that's 100% of business.
That might be online. Exhausting too. I feel bad for the guy. I hope it's
no, but okay.
Some time, because that could be,
that's business during COVID 2021. A horrible situation, horrible economy, blah, blah, blah. But this guy is shipping orders throughout the day. But he does the work of putting all these pictures and everything. So, I mean, still, there is business.
I mean, he's doing a great job.
He's doing an amazing job.
He deserves to be applauded on that, how much work he puts in doing all that. It's not easy. But you're right. It's business, and you have to do it. I mean, you kind of have, this is how you survive in COVID times right now. You just hustle.
Yes.
You just do what you can.
Very much so.
And some of these
shops, they have a ton of merchandise there. It's just a matter of doing the effort of putting these pictures out.
I mean, you have, I don't know about what Switzerland, you know better than I would, of course, unemployment rate. But, you know, it doesn't take that much to just have somebody come in. You know, we were talking off camera, off air about even like outsourcing, like our sound mixing. And there's so many places to go with this. You know, we still do, Dariush, not me. Dariush still does all the editing, sound mixing, everything, start to finish. I just show up on Sundays and you know, put on these headphones and just talk. I don't really do the work that he does. But it's all you need is just like a couple hours.
Yeah.
Somebody to come in. Take some photos. After a certain point, it just becomes repetitive. It's easy. Yeah. You could just sort of
honestly,
so
you can do it yourself. The pictures. You don't need professional pictures. Again, look at James Dent.
I mean, they look pretty good.
They look good because he knows what he's doing.
He does a great job.
Even if it wasn't the case, if we could just see the product on somebody, and we knew which size that person is wearing, and you know if it's available or not, you know, just some basic information. Anyway. I think we've said enough. No.
Yeah, I guess. I guess. Anything, any news on the Cottle front?
So, yes, people, we're not forgetting.
We didn't forget. No.
I was in touch with them again. Everything's going well. We're going to have more details probably in the next episode. We're just now talking about what exactly it is that we want for this project because, spoiler alert, we're not just going to order as is. We want maybe a little something extra. So
there's going to be some special details.
Yes, some special
details. Customized to us.
And basically, we said it in between us, but it's for our project, but it's got to be also something that celebrates our 10th episode from last week and overall the whole podcast, I think.
Yeah, our commitment to this podcast.
And exactly.
Even if it's just fun. Yes. It's denim. It's something, it's a nice occasion.
Yes.
You know, pairs of denim, when done right, are probably, you know, around for a very long
exactly.
time.
Exactly.
You know, 10, 20 years.
Exactly.
So.
And they've been
there's
really...
There's always stories to tell.
Yeah. And they've been really nice, responsive, and super open-minded to the stuff that we've been, you know, talking about. So it's going forward. You'll have more details probably in the next episode, in the next podcast.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And so let's highlight to a new segment.
Yes, new segment.
New segment, the Denim Head of the Week. Denim Head of the Week, we're going to highlight, you know, an IG user out there who sort of secretly we've been looking at and kind of appreciating what they got. And so that is actually Mr. Robert Selvage this week on Instagram.
Yes.
Certainly give him a follow. He... What does he do, Darish? Like, what, can you give us a little bit more information about this IG user?
He's an aspiring denim head, small business owner based in the US. I'm not going to go into details, obviously.
Ah, New England.
New England. Let's say this. Okay, New England.
New England needs to Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts. Big up.
He started not too long ago, and he's taking cool pictures. You know, obviously, his part of the world is cold right now, much colder than here, for example. But cool stuff with, you know, a lot of snow, and he's into his Ironheart denim. He's part of the Ironheart Army, so.
Army.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Give him a follow. And this new segment is something that, in all honesty, Pasha thought about. And we thought, that's a good idea. Let's highlight somebody. It doesn't need to be an account with, you know, a million followers or whatever. Just somebody that we came across.
It actually probably will never be somebody with over 1,000. Certainly it's...
We can have more.
Might even
but
be less.
It's just somebody that... Yeah? But... It's somebody that we have had, you know.
Our first disagreement.
Yeah.
On air. Uh-huh.
Pasha needs to come back on IG so he'll see what I'm talking about.
Of course, yes. There are more than 1,000 followers on a lot of... Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people have more than 1,000 followers. But basically, we'll just highlight somebody who we've had a little, you know, chat with or we've had interactions with on the Obviously Blue account. And... send us an email, or you don't even need to send us an email. We'll just choose somebody and have a chat. And Mr. Robert Selvage, we salute you for being a denim head.
And a follower.
And a follower.
And highlighting.
Yes, and a listener.
Yeah, there's another, you know, outside of denim, there's a size 10 podcast. I have to give it a listen.
Yep.
Seems to be an interesting. I kind of am a very, very amateur sneakerhead, having... been there for the original releases of all these Air Jordans such.
I think it would be fair for you to give it a listen because it seems interesting.
Size 10
Size
podcast.
Size 10 podcast.
Right?
Yeah. It's a sneaker / comedy podcast or something like this.
Okay.
Yes. Sounds
I'm going to definitely. I think they have about 10 episodes or so out there anyway as well. So I know they're on YouTube. They're on. They're on other podcast platforms and stuff. But speaking of YouTube.
Speaking of YouTube.
On our favorite.
Yes.
Car YouTubers.
Exactly.
Anything going on in Sam's see-through glass world?
Look, so Sam, see-through glass, he's a UK car YouTuber. The reason I felt like talking about him is he's one of the guys that kind of ignited my passion for car YouTubers. I was already into cars for many years, but Sam, he started about 7 years ago. he was just doing POV vlogs. So that basically means he was fixing a GoPro on his head and he was doing some car spotting in places like London or Monaco. He then bought a couple cars. He always upgraded, of course. He went from Alfa Romeo 4C to Jaguar F-Type R and then, you know, McLaren and stuff like this. But that's not really the point here. Okay, that's not really the point here. Okay. I want to say that the F-Type, it represents for me the golden era of car YouTubers, okay? So it was him, a few other car YouTubers that maybe you've heard of, names like Shmi, Seb Delaney, Paul Wallace, and Mr. JWW. Homemade videos, nice cars, supercars.
Paul Wallace is what? Supercars of London,
yes,
right?
Supercars of London, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, the whole reason that I'm talking about this, in January 2016, he did a video called One of the Best Days I've Ever Had. So it's him and a friend of his, Mr. JWW. Uh-huh. They uh-huh. get out of London and they're driving to the Evo Triangle in Wales. Small country roads. He's in the Jaguar F-Type R and JWW, his car at the time, it was a Ferrari F12. So both cars, yes, yeah, yeah. Both cars, they're way too powerful. Both cars are, you know, rear-wheel drive. The roads are too small for these, you know, big GTs. It's greasy, it's raining, it's even snowing at times. But you can tell, like, how much fun they had just driving around. Genuine fun and pleasure, you know, just taking a car out for a drive with a friend. So that's the genesis of what made me really love these guys and this UK car YouTuber scene. I still watch what they do now, but they all have amazing supercars, hypercars, but
unattainable. I mean, yeah. Like a Jaguar.
Exactly.
Jaguar, you know, F-Type R is something that somebody could still kind of,
yeah.
It's easily attained. It's people can get
exactly.
It. It's not like a Ferrari F12.
Yeah.
That's
but at the time,
Ferrari won't even return your call.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's tough.
It was just, I mean, you know, these guys, and it's good for them.
Fun.
It exploded, basically. They all went, you know, they get invited every single time there's a new car that's being released. They are there. They do the test drives and everything. But this video, it was in...
What's that Michelin, the up... What is the festival that they talk about? Where they're going... The festivals, you go up the hill. What's that thing called?
Goodwood Festival.
Goodwood, yeah. Goodwood. Yeah, yeah. That looks...
That looks amazing.
Fun. Yeah. I don't know, has JWW ever come to the U.S. for Monterey Car Week?
Yes, they've all come.
He probably has.
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's another level now. Shmi has a McLaren Senna. He's got like 12 cars plus 5 on orders. You know, it's different. But at the time, it was just something different with that video. Just two friends going out for a drive. The weather is shit. The cars are too
wheels.
Big.
Yeah.
They're too powerful. Uh-huh. So it's all... It's interesting. I'll put the link in the show notes anyway. It's a nice video.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Well.
Okay.
On that note, then we'll wrap it up. We'll put a bow on this bad boy. And until the next time.
Yes. We'll see you guys next week.
Have a great week ahead. Take care, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye.